As long as pain is a mystery, it is the grand trial of trust in God's perfect wisdom, love, and rightness.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. That verse is from John 14, verse 23. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that God is asking us to do something in order that he can love us and come to us and make our home with him? That's grace. You know, it's grace that actually allows and asks us and enables us to do something for him. Do you want to love him? Do you want him to come to you and to make his home with you? Well, this verse tells you how. I'll read it again. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." We've been talking about the life of Francis Ridley Havergal, the hymn writer, and there are so many lovely lessons to be learned from her biography written by her sister Miriam. She was a woman of a great deal of suffering and pain. And she said, "As long as pain is a mystery, it is the grand trial of trust in God's perfect wisdom, love, and rightness. But you must wait patiently till you've had some experience of pastoral work." And by that, she didn't mean becoming the pastor of a church. She simply meant helping people. Pastoral comes from a word about shepherding. So all of us should be shepherds in some way or other. As we know the Lord, the Lord gives us younger sheep to help, to pastor. And so she says you must wait patiently till you've had some experience of pastoral work and of great pain. And then you will see. She said that these lessons that she needed to learn were tenfold clearer since the expression of intense pain. And she said, "I would not have foregone that teaching for anything." Let's face it, dear radio listeners, you and I have our own kinds of pain and suffering, don't we? I don't have very much. I often think when I read your letters how little I've known of real suffering. But there are things. There are difficulties. There are things that hurt. There are disappointments among the little things. And many of you are suffering very great pain, emotional, physical, spiritual. You know, it's in those times, isn't it, that we are most likely to turn to the Lord. It's when we know that we have reached the end of our rope that we turn to him. And it is, as we look back, the occasion of our deepest need that has been the occasion of our learning to know him who can fulfill that need, him who alone can fulfill that need perfectly. So often he does it in ways that we would never expect. So often our prayers are transformed into something utterly beyond our imaginations. And yet it's the same Lord who is always at work, the same Lord who was at work in the Apostle Paul when he had that thorn in his flesh and the Lord said, "My grace is all you need," and the same Lord who was at work in Frances Ridley Havergal, for whom many prayed for health, and yet she lived in a state of semi-invalidism almost all of her life. And she said, "I would not have forgone that teaching for anything." And she says some very important things about pain. First of all, she says, there is no mystery to it when looked at in the light of Calvary and of God's holiness. The deeper our views of and hatred of sin as the Holy Spirit's teaching in our hearts progresses, the more clearer will all that is connected with sin become. And as if there had been no sin, there would have been no pain, it is all and more than all deserved. She says, I feel that I have deserved the very suffering of hell for my transgression of the first great commandment. Do you remember what the first great commandment is? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Frances Ridley Havergal, a very devout Christian woman, considered that she herself deserved the very sufferings of hell because of her transgression of that commandment, and she said also for my sin of unbelief. So if we were to receive what we really deserve here in this life, we would suffer far more than we do, and that's the truth. But it was sin that brought suffering into the world, and who paid the price? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew when he created man with freedom to choose that he himself would be the one to pay the penalty for their disobedience. So when we think about the mystery of suffering, we always need to look at it in the light of Calvary, in the light of the cross. And the second thing she says is that it is a proof, it is the real proof of God's love. He cannot possibly, since he is love, enjoy the sight of our suffering. It must be as much worse to him than it is to you, as he is infinitely greater and more loving than you. And yet he inflicts or permits it so that he may rouse and warn and check and save us. He does not enjoy the sight of our suffering. Never imagine for a moment that he does. And then the third thing that she says is that pain, as to God's own children, is truly and really only a blessing in disguise. As I said yesterday, quoting Frances Ridley Havergal, my disappointments are his appointments. I don't know what pain and trouble you may be suffering today, but think of those lessons. It's not a mystery when looked at in the light of God's holiness and in the light of Calvary. It is the proof of his love. He loves those whom he chastens. It is also the proof of our sonship, and it is a blessing in disguise. And I want to read to you a passage on pain from the book of Lamentations, verses 19 to 33. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is cast down within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Isn't that a wonderful passage? That was from Lamentations 3, verses 19 to 33. And Frances Ridley Havergal tells us how that pain itself was to her like a rough hand catching her as she fell over a precipice. Certainly, if you see somebody falling over a precipice and you reach down to grab them, you're not going to try to grab them gently. It's going to be a pretty rough grab, isn't it? You may hurt them. You may pinch their flesh, but you will be saving their lives. And that is exactly what God wants to do for us in our pain. God never does to us anything that is not for us. And in that passage in Lamentations, we see that the author is facing his affliction. He's not denying it. He remembers how his soul was cast down, but he remembers also the Lord's compassion, his faithfulness. He remembers that the Lord is his portion. He says that the Lord is good to those who hope in him, and it is a good thing to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He speaks of sitting alone in silence, burying his face in the dust, humility, quietness, the willingness to be struck again by that person who has struck us. Because men are not cast off forever, though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. You that feel as though you're in an impossible place, the absolute end of the world, the end of your hopes, the end of your life, there is a way through. There is always a way through. And he will show compassion. He loves you. He died for you. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. He does it for our good, for our blessing, and for our ultimate gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.